eating butter by itself lately.
Why?
I don't know why.
Introduce a middleman.
Well, that was what my thought was, is like, I accept and love myself enough now as an almost 28-year-old woman that I was like, why lie, Virginia? You don't need the bread. Just have the knife and the butter. You don't need the bread. It's
gross.
Pretty good. No, this podcast has already gotten off the rails.
It started off the rails.
We could probably start again anytime soon if we wanted to.
No, it's fine. We'll just, it'll fade in. It'll seem like an organic. Tell me about your job, because you have several.
Yeah, that makes me sound like Julie Roberts in Pretty Woman. No, I think.
Didn't she just have one job?
Well, I guess. Lots of gigs, right?
Well,
technically,
yeah,
they're all like day jobs.
If you could call it that, yeah.
They're per day jobs. I don't know. I don't know. Like everyone in Los Angeles, I am a jack of all trades, master of none. And so I am a production coordinator on occasion. I am an associate producer on occasion. I host my own podcast, which doesn't pay me anything. So it's not really a job.
Don't get into podcasting, kids.
But yeah, I'm a writer and director, producer as well. The things that pay my bills right now are actually background acting, which is not as fun as you'd think, but more fun than I've had doing worse jobs, I guess. Like, it's not the worst job I've ever had. So
it's a lot like substitute teaching, right? Like, you get on the register as available talent, so to speak, and then at the butt crack of dawn every morning,
you have to sub in, basically.
You call up and be like, I'm free, you got a gig.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you do similar, but you do it like the day before normally, or a couple days before. But it is a, like, you call and book yourself. And,
sure.
You know, you bring your own clothes and you don't have anything that like an actor, like a real actor would have. You don't have. You're basically like herded into like a tent.
You're an autonomous prop.
Yeah, with a mouth. A prop with a mouth who can figure out, you know, you're like one of those Westworld robots that's like figured out the truth, you know, the maze. Like, you kind of, and that is not to say that I've not had a lot of fun doing different background gigs, but I've realized now it's a completely different thing because I've mostly done the production side. When I'm just doing background, you'd think, and if I have the right book or like enough battery life, I can kind of zone out and not care. But if I'm like starting to pay attention to like the shitty PAs that are like taking 3 cigarette breaks instead of getting me the fuck through hair and makeup so that I can go have breakfast before we have to shoot this goddamn scene. You know what I mean? Because I do the other side of it. It is so funny to me because I realize that like I kind of am. But it's like a server who is more critical and then at the same time more forgiving, you know? And so I get so bored that I just
start critiquing everyone else's performance.
Or just like, I'm like, why is that? Like, if I was on this, you know, if I was on this production, everyone would have their breakfast already.
It is like when you have worked in food service and you go to a restaurant, like there's a ton of things you'll forgive that other people get really pissed about. And then there's stuff that normal people doesn't seem to bug them. But for you, it's like, you could be doing your job better.
Yeah.
You could be doing your job better.
Yeah.
I know, because I've done your job better.
Exactly. Like, I see you seeing in the server waiting station, like, right. Where's my refill? I haven't had my sweet tea refilled in 10 minutes. Like, no, that's kind of a similar thing.
So when I first moved to Los Angeles, you gave me a rundown of like how to get into the background acting, which I completely ignored.
I love that I always have a rundown for people. I'm like, here's what you do.
Well, that's you are prepared rundown personified.
If I was in a zombie apocalypse, I would be the person who made like medicine out of the grass and stuff, but right. I would have like the evacuation plan ready and everything.
Yeah, I'd be like, here's where the exits are.
Yeah.
Don't go out them because there are zombies outside.
Here's some aloe.
Do you still have that like readily accessible in your brain? Because I think
actually.
I don't know the super hungry audience, but I know the crew call audience, and that's like one of the crazy hardest things is like, okay, so in your head, the thought of I'm going to move to Los Angeles, like I know that's what I want to do.
Right.
But I then just work at Target and hope for the best. Like, what do you do? And in my experience anyway, like, if you have to work shit jobs, work them in the industry if you can, because then your career has started
and you're going towards something
instead of, you know, sorting boxes in the stock room just like you were doing in Michigan,
right,
or Nebraska or Florida or wherever, the other states that Los Angeles is not in.
You came from.
So yeah, what's, I don't know, do you have like a 3-point, like do this and then do this and then here's how you don't quietly freak out until you explode?
Yes. I think when you move here, you probably want to, if you have a vehicle, you want to register with Central Casting as your first option, the number one, I guess. Just because, and there are other background acting agencies, but that's like the oldest and almost like the easiest to register with because they have open registration every week. I don't know all the details, but it's literally like 2 days a week from like 9 to 11 or something is like open orientation, and you have to get there super early. So don't get there at 9. Honest to God, get there at like 6:30 because the line will start and people will start lining up because they only have a certain amount of slots open per day. And so you go, you wait in the line. Once you get in the room and you're like in one of the seats, you're basically in. And what you're doing in that orientation is filling out paperwork with Central Casting because you're basically hired already, right? And they pay you. So you're filling out paperwork to Central Casting, your employer. So it's like a W-2 and, you know, any like sort of whatever paperwork you have to fill out. And then they take your photo and your measurements and everything. And then you are on file as a background actor with Central Casting. You then have to watch their website and Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff for their postings, and you have to call and try to book yourself. But that's a really good way to, because you make $10 an hour, you know, you normally get fed on set. It's, you know, and you get an 8-hour minimum pay, even if you only do 4 hours worth of work, which is a great guarantee. So you could go in and do a really short scene that you're only there for an hour, but you get that guaranteed $84, which is great. And so they let you stay registered for like 3 years, which is really nice too. So
you can use it to fill in gaps even as you find your other gigs,
or in between gigs that were like 1099, like what I just did. So I wasn't really eligible to have unemployment like a lot of people do, because that is a thing that a lot of people do here.
I've heard that, but I've never done
it. I never have either.
I'm always 1099. I don't, because I like it better.
You
tend to get paid faster and a better rate because the taxes are on you. So they're like, okay, sure, we'll give you your rate.
If
we don't have to pay unemployment on your behalf, just careful with that, because self-employment tax
is a killer.
Is the worst.
Yeah.
But yeah, the unemployment thing is, I hear people talking about it and it sounds wonderful, but I'm never going to have it.
I think it's more for people who have, I mean, I think anybody can do it, but you know, somebody who's been doing it for a couple months at a time or has had like a longer gig, like you are technically laid off at the end of each job when you're done.
Right.
That is the technical term for work. And I was talking to Steven, my husband, the other day, and everybody always gives me shit because I never qualify who Steven is. They're like, you should tell people my husband's Steven. And I'm like,
no, I think it's better if there's just an entity in your life.
Steven. I'm like Barefoot Contessa with her husband, whatever his name is, like that he's just always leaving so that she can hang out with her gay friends. And
probably
cook.
Steven.
I was talking to him and I realized that, you know, I think more than probably any of my other friends in any other industry, like I have had to hustle to get a new job like a dozen plus times a year.
Yeah.
A new job, like an entirely new job, which is different from any other industry. You know, like when you're done with a gig, you're done. Like there's no more work.
There's
like
almost always no coming back unless it's a show that
with another season.
Yeah. That has another season coming
up.
And
even then, that's a 3-month plus hiatus.
Right. Which is why the unemployment cycle is a thing that exists, but it's for that. It's not for you did a week here and then you don't have a job for 2 weeks. It's for you've done 3 to 6 months
and then
you have to cover a 3-month gap.
Exactly.
And you weren't making enough, you know, you were doing okay, but you weren't making enough to like, you know, you were making enough to live while you were working.
Yeah.
And maybe another month or two afterwards, but then there's still another month or two after that where you're like,
That's why I envy, I think I would be honest, I envy people who have the regular job sometimes because they have money for, I don't even mean like the expendable things. It's just like knowing that you have like the next month rent taken care of already. And even in the time of this recording right now, I will have rent for next month, I'm sure.
Probably.
I have no idea exactly how it's coming to me. And so that's an interesting, you know, it's you're like always hyper aware, I think, and like fight or flight.
I think the risk is similar even, but it's on the surface when you do like the freelance entertainment stuff, which is one of the harder things about working in entertainment, especially if you're 1099, mm-hmm. like we were talking about, which if you don't know, like
you're an independent contractor.
Yeah, you're an independent contractor. It's not getting a series of jobs. It's you're straight up freelance.
Yeah. They are hiring you as a contractor for the company for a certain amount of time.
Right.
So your rate is normally higher, but it's because they're not taking the 18% of, you know, FICA right. and whatever out.
Which you will have to pay most of, but not all of. So if you're up on your bookkeeping, it can be a better deal if that's the kind of work you're getting and there's an option, but
it's just extra work at the end of the year. And I don't know, I always love having taxes taken out because I always claim zero, so they take the most out,
right?
You know?
And then you get it's
and
like
then my return is like
savings
dope. Yeah. But it's also because I don't have a job in February,
right?
When I get my
and so that's
return.
that is nice. You kind of like building up a pressure valve. I just don't like loaning the government money.
Very principled of you.
Well, it's
I'm
not
just
even
lazy.
This is not like Thanksgiving, like angry uncle. I don't want to loan the government money, but it's like I need that money.
Right.
I want to use that money.
Like
for
I have things right now.
My stuff. Right. Exactly. But our first guest, but the first interview I did in this whole batch, Bradford. I think it's episode 4 is when he aired, but he was talking about the same thing. Like actually coming from a already had day jobs thing, mm-hmm. like getting over the pride of applying for unemployment every 4 months.
Yeah. Because if you come from like a Midwest work ethic, which could be anywhere, like I'm from Florida and you
have the Midwest work ethic.
Yeah. Because it just feels shameful almost to be like, why unemployment? I need this from the government. And I think I did it like, I did it like once.
But that's your money.
2 months. And that was it. And even then I was just like,
feel a little weird.
Yeah. I was like, I guess this is okay. You know, it's fine, but I guess that's probably why I'm getting out of Dodge. I don't know. That's one of the reasons anyway, which is a good segue into saying that I'm moving.
Yeah. which is an interesting thing. Like a lot of the conversations on topics like this are about like moving to Los Angeles because it's still like the biggest entertainment town in the country.
Absolutely.
But it's not the only one anymore.
And it doesn't operate the way that you think that it does, I think, is an interesting lesson to learn.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that if you don't live somewhere with an entertainment hub and you're going to move to a different state, LA is probably still the one to go to.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, but
if you happen to live in
Georgia, I also have been here for 5
Georgia,
years.
Go to Atlanta.
Yeah. I mean, Atlanta's great. New Orleans is great. Austin is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are these, you know, Chicago, New York. Like, there are art towns happening everywhere.
Right.
Like, I'm moving to a smaller art town in Michigan called Grand Rapids, but there's still a really vibrant, like, film community there, even. And I think that if you want to move to a big city, I think that if you want to work on exploring who you are as an individual, your limits, learning how to be around different kinds of people and ideologies and, you know, really get the experience of living in a place that exists for work, you should come to LA. Like I feel like people are taking my moving from LA as some sort of me being like, oh, I've regretted every bit of LA. And like that really there couldn't be anything farther from the truth because I just rounded my 5th year anniversary here right before Halloween. And it's been one of the most interesting, challenging, amazing, cool, interesting places that I've ever lived. It's a place where you can go and see comedy on a Tuesday night in Hollywood for $5, and it's like Aziz Ansari like testing out some new material in a club that can fit 60 people. You know, that doesn't happen anywhere else. But I think that if you are somebody who maybe decided at like 17 that you were going to be a filmmaker and you were going to move to the big city, and you did the thing and you moved to the city and you're out here, and for some reason the city isn't bringing you joy, or it's giving you too much anxiety, or the pressure of having to work all the time to pay for your apartment that is more expensive than anywhere else in the country, categorically even more now than San Francisco, because people don't make the amount of money here that they do in San Francisco, because the average income in San Francisco is like a tech averaged income base, which like, is way higher percentage-wise.
Nobody doing what we do is going to live in San Francisco. They're going to live in the East Bay. And then travel, but it's still high.
It's still like the rate that people make here versus how expensive it is to live here. We've now surpassed San Francisco, and so that just happened
this year.
Not raw
cost, but just cost of living versus, relative to purchasing power.
Exactly. And that just happened this year. And that to me was, I mean, I think that there are many positive signs that my husband and I are meant to move when we are and how we are. But I don't know. It's an interesting... it's an interesting thing. I guess my whole point is that if you're at that place where you've been following that path that you were on, and all of a sudden you just realize maybe you haven't wanted to be on that path and you don't want to be in that big city anymore, or, you know, have to fight 3 hours of traffic every day, or, you know, have it take a year between pre-production to actually releasing a music video versus the month that you could pre-produce something in a smaller city with people who...
Because there's a little less...
Hustle and bustle.
Yeah.
Well, even think about it right now. I was 20 minutes late to when I said I was going to be to your house, right?
Yes.
And that was because I left in a decent amount of time, but...
Well, it rained yesterday,
so the roads wet mean that people don't know how to drive. But then even more than that, the 6 miles apart that we are still took me at the very minimum 15 minutes to get here. And then that wasn't even that. It was like more like 25 because I stopped to get a soda. Like that's... I think at this point in my life...
You're just kind of done with
I'm comfortable enough to say that I don't need to live here full time to feel... validated in my artistry feel like I am making art. There was a time in my life where I equated everything about my unique air quotes LOL like artistry with being in LA, because that was my path. That was my line, you know? But I think you have a similar story, because for you, you grew up in Michigan. You grew up adjacent to a town that is art driven, but is still very conservative and Midwest. And that city, which I'm very excited to move back to, you know, at the time you were there, there were a lot of incentives. So there were a lot of people doing shit.
Yeah.
And then when that left, it kind of just left.
Well, even when I was there, like one of the reasons I made the move, even to Grand Rapids, was as a stepping stone, just incidentally, because I worked there and I didn't want to spend the money on the commute, figuring I could save it and then move to Los Angeles. But whatever, the reason I wanted to come to LA wasn't for validation. But as I saw it, like the way to make a living doing the kinds of things I wanted to do in anywhere in Michigan would have necessitated being one of like the five best people at it in the state.
Right.
And I probably could have gotten there, but I was A, impatient, and B, I don't want that to be like in my brain. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to move to Los Angeles, because then like I had this feeling, which turned out to be true. All you have to do is be good at your job and like people like working with you, and you can make your living.
But do you not feel a pressure out here to sort of always like... I always feel like I have to sort of qualify myself.
Oh, no, you know I don't. I'm an obstinate, stubborn person. So like my reaction to the idea of that is shut up. Just go do whatever you want to do. Leave me alone.
I don't mean like to anyone specific. I'm just talking about like the generic being at a party.
Oh.
The question is always like, what do you do? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I get it. It's never bugged me.
Hmm.
I think is one of the reasons why I quite like it here. Also because I, through a combination of deliberate steering and random flukes, like I don't have to leave my home studio to work. Fair. 90% of the time.
Yeah.
So I get to go experience the hustle and bustle of Los Angeles, like when I want to. It's rare that I have to.
Right.
And even then, like, I ended up moving to an area of town that's close enough to the clients that I have to travel to that I can ride my bike. So I still don't have to deal with like the headache of traffic and stuff.
That is pretty
good. So I hacked living in LA by accident.
How did you do that though?
I don't know. I mean, honestly,
great advice.
Yeah. Right. No, just kind of hope for the best. I think what I did was I reacted in a, healthy way to my feelings about the work that I was doing.
Okay.
And I just tried to keep doing that, I guess. So yeah. For instance, when we met, I was doing location sound recording. Mm-hmm. And have done that for you a handful of times.
Party foul.
And, right. Hey. Party foul.
And ADR and post sound.
Well, that's the thing is like party foul was my first experience
and
with
you did all the
post
like
sound. And I liked it. I liked it and was able to get, you know, slowly like better and better gigs doing it. But like, I never hit a point where that was my only job.
Okay.
And concurrent with that, I was doing what I did with you on Party Foul to be like, I'll do the post too.
Yeah.
Cause you know, I know your budget or whatever, like for Party Foul it was, I'll just do it.
It was like, I have like a hug for you.
Yeah, right. I think I got paid like a couple bottles of whiskey and some lunch.
Yeah. We had real good pizza, I'm sure.
Yeah. But, you know, doing that because it was something I knew I could do but never had. So, you know, we'll do it for free.
Right.
And then I got paid to do it a bunch. It's like, oh, I like being in the studio more. Like if I had to hustle, I'd rather hustle from home.
Right.
And so after like a year and a half, you know, and I was getting to a point where like, if I had stuck it out, I would be getting like the rates that I wanted and I'd be working probably 2 weeks out of every month,
right,
on average. But there's a point at which I kind of just realized like I like the location work, but not enough to do it full time. But sometimes you can't know that.
You have to do it before you can rule right. it out. You know?
And so to answer your question, like how did I end up with the, you know, modified hermit lifestyle that I have? I just let myself be okay with that.
Yeah.
I guess because like, no, I like doing this other stuff better. And then in doing that, like I met a couple of really good clients that I get a lot of work from. And, and I have like these other side gigs that pay a chunk of my bills too. And because I never have to be anywhere except my office, like I have those options. And
that's good.
Yeah. So I think that's how I ended up there. That's not like most people's dream job, but I quite like it.
What is your dream job?
No, this is my dream job.
Just want more of this.
Yeah. Just, yeah, exactly. Figure out ways to get better at this kind of work, you know, the podcasting and the sound design and the mixing and
yeah, congrats on launching like the network, bro.
Yeah, so that was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
That was a terrible but air horn.
I think, yeah, we don't, you know, I wasn't going to draw attention to your crappy air horn sound effect.
It was so
loud. It sounded more like Dr. Seuss falling asleep.
It just wasn't very fast, too. I realized it was very
But I think similar to like you and Steven deciding to move back to Michigan, which is a thing that like I think a lot of people, the first reaction is like, oh, you're quitting.
Yeah, someone
but
asked
you're not.
Me,
you're just said, listening to what you actually want out of life,
someone
right?
Said, but what about your dreams?
I was like,
you are so right. They're only attached to the landlocked
right.
guidelines of Los Angeles County. Anywhere yeah. outside that, they just turned into dust. It's so weird.
Right.
It's like a salt pillar.
By
like
the time
Sodom's
you
wife.
Guys get to Michigan, you'll have two kids.
Or wait, Lot's wife, not Sodom's wife. Lot's wife, sorry.
I'm the last person in the world to correct
somebody
you
somebody would
that.
Have corrected us, Chris.
Yes.
They would have written in.
I think one of the the things to remember, like as you move to Los Angeles or as you are in Los Angeles working, you know, and trying to like find a foothold, like just listen to what you actually want. Like, don't compare it to the first version of the dream that you had, because
you won't know
what that's like until you do it. And you can change your mind. Like a lot of the people that I've talked to on Crew Call too, like have something like that.
Where they like in their past. Switched course, kind of.
Right. And not because they're a failed blank, but because they were like, I want to be blank. And then they do it and they're like, okay, that's cool. But like, I got this job that pays me more regularly and is like, does all of the things for me that my first idea did. Plus there's security. Plus like,
yeah, no, I feel good about it. And I don't really feel like I need to defend myself to people really or anything, which is good. And I don't think of it as a failure in like any way, but it's funny because now that we're just talking about failures, like, I realize so many of the things that have been failures for me, like, I look back on now, and it was like, I'm so glad that that happened the way that it did, to be honest. You know what I mean? And not everything, because there's still some shit that, like, was just, like, a fuck up or whatever. Well, you know what I mean?
So, sometimes you just screw up
like,
a
you
bunch.
Just screw up, and, like, that's not good. You don't really, like, learn a lesson other than how not to do that thing again. But, like, I don't know. I think this year for me, you know, because if we want to parse it out, like, you could really say that I started my last calendar year kind of with a failure, you know, because I got laid off from a job that I had been at for 6 months. It was a startup. I was, you know, the production coordinator in-house for our company. And unfortunately, you know, 6 months in, they realized that they needed somebody who could also do all the accounting in-house because I had been sending it away to our sister company to get done, you know, but that just became problematic and way more of a headache.
They couldn't afford to pay for two positions. They needed someone who could do all
And they didn't realize that, you know, and so it wasn't like a negative thing. You know, they set me up with severance and were really nice with like trying to help me get another job. You know, like it was great, you know. Objectively, it was a great way to get fired or whatever.
If you have to get fired. Yeah, like, getting fired with like a cake and a check.
Yeah,
is
it's like
a bad
not
way to
terrible.
Do it.
Yeah, and having somebody be like, "Let me know if you need help getting another job." You know, not bad, but at the same time, that was the second time in 2015 when I had been laid off of a job that I expected fully to sort of be at for longer than 6 months. And the other one was another 6 month tenure with another production company that I was on full time for. I was just a production assistant, so it was a lower level. But to have both of those happen back to back in a year, you know, you let the failure wash over you for a minute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you wrap yourself in that blanket for an evening and smoke a lot of weed and drink a lot
whatever. California.
Congratulations. I see all you stoners gonna make it through the next 4 years. We can make it together, guys. No, you know what I mean? Like that's, I think that you can give into it for a minute because I think sometimes it's good to feel the pain of losing something. In a way, because it makes you like hone in even more on what it is you do want, you know? So I had gotten laid off from this job that objectively was one of the coolest jobs I've ever had, but in reality was terrible and exhausting and not in any way actually fun. But because our mind does this thing where we trick ourselves into believing that the thing that we wanted when we were 17 is exactly still the same and has not in any way evolved or morphed to be what it is when we're 25.
By the way, or the thing, because for me, it wasn't 16, 17, 18. Like I was 25 before I was like, this is why I've been jealous of all of my friends who went to film school.
Oh, there it is.
Because I think that's cool and that it would be fun to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I was 28 before I moved to Los Angeles. And even then, like, I'm a little bit, I guess, different than the usual because I didn't have, like, specific designs. Like, I'm a pretty capable writer. I'm a pretty capable audio engineer. And, like, I am good at working. So I figured, okay, I'll just go do some stuff because people pay you to know how to use sound equipment, and then they pay you to be good at it, right? So, okay, why not? I'll just try that. So I didn't necessarily even have like a specific, like, I'm going to be blank. I'm going to be a re-recording mixer.
You were just
going to
be out of Michigan.
I just want to work in entertainment. Like, that's right. All I really cared about. Like, sure, it would be cool to get paid to write. It would be cool to get paid to produce, or it would be cool to get paid to mix or whatever. But kind of as long as I'm doing one of those things, I'm going to be okay with it. And even
paying
then,
your bills and surviving.
Right. But even then, I had these moments through the first couple of years where I was like, I was feeling a pull in a different direction and not listening to it because I was like, but that's not what I came here to do.
Right. Right.
And
did it keep you from starting stuff for a while?
No, I mean, yes and no.
I'm just making myself so comfortable, by the way. My feet are up.
You're in this squish,
America, if you could see this.
The squishy camp chair.
It's really comfortable.
It's the best.
It's like fake animal hair or something. Mm-hmm. Nope, made a real bear.
It's 100%
It's a bear
llama.
Chair. 100%.
But yeah, I don't know. That's that dissonance you feel between where like your gut and reality is pulling you and where you wanted it to pull you is, I think, something to pay attention to.
Well, because I think that, again, really the only thing you're fighting in that what you thought it should be is like the younger version of yourself.
Right.
Like, that's really it. Because I think other than like the one person who was like, but what about your dreams? Like, most people are like, oh, that's cool. I get it. Because you want to do more than like what you can do. Because, like, really,
by the way, you're
like,
not moving back to Michigan to like be the head manager of a grocery store.
Yeah, they always like forget the part where I'm like, so we're moving back to Michigan to open the commercial wing of a film studio. They just hear, so we're moving back to Michigan. Wah, 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 wah.
We're moving back to Michigan. I'm a failure.
Exactly. Like, I'm sad. So I'm moving back.
No, you're going to go. Actually, a friend of mine from school, like she and her husband, they lived in New York, and like, she worked for the NYPD, and it was like, if you looked at their life and their trajectory, you'd be like, you were made to live in New York. You guys are going to be in New York forever.
New York City.
I think that there was a similar sort of thing. It was like, turns out now I'm not so into this.
Yeah.
And so they moved, you know, and the difference, and she expressed, like, had friends that were like, you're throwing your life away.
Yeah.
And she's like, bitch, I am going to buy a giant ass house.
Yeah. Like, I can't wait for that. Like, I can't do it right now. But that's the thing. There are other things that I want that, unfortunately, the Tuesday night comedy shows with Aziz for $5 take the place of. You know what I mean? I can't find parking in my neighborhood in under 20 minutes. I cannot, you know, park in a driveway. I know those are two car related things, but like,
yeah,
I don't have a house. I can't have
priorities.
A garden. Like, there's just little things that, as for me and my house, you know, I think right now our base can just be somewhere else, because the great thing about LA and New York and Atlanta and New Orleans and Austin and all these places,
it costs $150 to get here and back.
Boom, you're done. Like, $300 if you really like get a fancy plane ticket or book it last minute.
Or
like,
if you just need to go that day.
Exactly. Like, it's not a thing where I'd ever be afraid to come out here for work for long periods of time, or, you know, wouldn't be out here just to be out here again. It's just, I think for right now, like, I'm really looking forward to sort of the solace of a smaller city and just the ability to have more of a genuine day-to-day community, because I think what is great about LA is there are so many people that are trying to do things,
yeah,
but unfortunately, and to no discredit or fault, but unfortunately, everybody is really busy, which means you really don't get to see people in the way that you'd think you would.
Yeah,
like,
there's that.
There's a lot of people here, but you don't really spend time with them in the way that you do in any other town, because if it takes you 45 minutes to get across town...
Right.
Like, I imagine New York is like this, you know, if you're having to go from borough to borough, but it's like, you don't see friends every day. You don't just go over to a pal's after work. I mean,
sure.
I know some people do if they have friends in their remote neighborhood, but like,
that is actually like, I don't mind that it's one of the reasons, and this is not, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think it points.
You just hate people more.
I just hate everybody. No, I don't. But I'm the kind of person, like, it's, I like being around people, but it's work for me to be around people. And yeah. So I like living in an area where, like, you can maintain friendships with people, like honest, good friendships with people that you only see every couple of months.
No, that is
and maybe
really nice.
Even only, you know, only toss texts back and forth every month or
you,
so.
You like pick up right where you left off. But, it is very nice.
But it's not like there is no feeling like, how come you never get in touch?
Yeah. I just miss the immediacy of sort of like being able to, because I think for me, LA sometimes feels like it's one long activity.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, if like we always have to be like doing something or going somewhere and like, bitch, come over to my house. I'm making spaghetti. Like that, like that's literally all I want to do is like have someone come over and watch the new episode of Westworld with me
yeah.
and debate on whether or not we think Ford is actually a host, you know? Like I don't like I don't like going out. Undoing things.
I'm the same way. It's actually one of the reasons why, like,
LA is exactly where you want to be, like, honestly, like, and it's exactly where I was for a really long yeah. time, and it's where I met my husband, it's where I fell in love and got engaged, you know, it's like where I started my podcast, like there's always going to be a large part of me that's in Los Angeles, but I think the good part about LA is that it's kind of always here for you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, you can't really say, like, fuck you, LA, and it'd be like, you're right. Like, we're taking all of our movies and leaving. And like, yeah. no, you're going to come back.
That's literally never going to happen.
Yeah, so
it's... One of the reasons, by the way, like, so economic reasons, the industry's tied here, but also it's, like, in terms of variety of topography, geography, and architecture...
I thought you were going to say archaeology.
No, yes, and paleontology.
Yeah.
Well, there are other tar pits. Anyway, no. In terms of, like, there's a lot of variety within a couple of hours' drive.
Yeah.
And also, it's almost always nice out. So, for jobs that involve working out, like, needing to work in controlled conditions the way yeah. that movie making is, like, it's a lot harder to shoot, like, a summer movie in Michigan because you have no idea if you can count on it not raining during, you know, the week and a half, 3 months from now that, you know, you have to schedule the shoots. So that's, I think that's probably one of the reasons that there will always be industry here.
I mean,
but it's getting more distributed.
It is. And I think at the same time, I think people are realizing that you don't necessarily have to have the giant accoutrement of like all the shit to make movies because
no.
like you can shoot 4K video on like the new iPhones, right? like
yeah. like, yeah, which is great. As long as like you don't want to listen to music.
No, but like that's
fine.
Stupid though. You know what I mean? In a cool way. Like
yeah.
to me that the fact that I can hold a 4K camera in my hand and it costs a couple $100 at
right.
most and I can sort of, you know, get lens adapting if I want to.
Every DP listening to this right now is kind of throwing up.
That's fine, but it doesn't matter because guess what?
Stands.
Tangerine was on the shortlist for the Academy yeah. Awards and it was shot on an iPhone.
You also have to be good at every other part of the process
of
to make it happen, but also
and it has
on top
to be
of
a
that,
worthy film, but
there are you can get little like motorized gimbals for the phone too.
Yeah.
So you can have like smooth tracking shots without renting a dolly. Like,
but yeah, so I think that there's a part of Los Angeles that is very welcoming and warm and is always
oh,
going
yeah.
to be one of my favorite places. But damn, I'm excited to sort of, and it sounds lame, but I think anybody who's been a PA for long enough
slow down
knows,
a little bit and,
no,
and also
I'm excited
do the
to
work
be
you're
the
doing.
Boss.
Oh shit. Yeah.
Because I'm going to be one of the bosses. And, like, that comes with a lot of work. Like, obviously, I'm not even in town yet, and I've been having weekly meetings and daily text conversations
right.
with the producer that I'm helping put, you know, pull this off with and launch the wing with. And, you know, we literally have a constant dialogue about what we're working on and doing. But at the same time, if I can build something real for myself and for my husband and for my friends and family so that I could... I don't know, have a kid and not fucking have to worry about that. Well, I know, but see that
but
for
no,
me,
I,
that's,
I know.
That's where I'm at right now.
That's,
and I'm just looking
the
at
age
these other
we
things.
Are,
man.
Where you're like, oh man, kids.
Yeah.
Haven't thought about that.
My body has betrayed me.
Yeah. It's like this clock you didn't think you had.
Well, I think all women, if they don't feel it early on in their life, are quite convinced that it's never going to happen. They'll never feel it. And so I think I was really like, nah, nah, it's fine. This is cool. And then, you know, I don't know, getting married softens
that
you.
Helps.
You find somebody you like.
You're a year and a half away from 30.
Start liking yourself. Start liking yourself enough. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I am 2 years.
Sorry.
And a month and a half away from 30. Thank you.
Oh.
Very much.
Excuse me.
forgive
me.
I feel like my life is going to come together.
I turned
30
a year and a half ago, and so I just assume everyone I know is in their 30s.
I got cast to play 18 to look younger the other day.
Yeah, you can pull that off.
Bow, bow, bow.
I think I'm going to look 25 until I die.
Yeah, you don't look 30. And so every time you tell me that you're over 30, I'm like, that's not true.
You are a liar.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Like,
we both just brain farted.
Yeah, we did. Well, we got off track, but that's okay. That's what editing's for. One of the things that you kind of mentioned that you're pointing to about Los Angeles, though, that is like, as a town with the industry that it has, like, it can be hard to build your own thing and get it seen. Lots of people make stuff here.
I have the best podcast so on my stuff. Street. So, like, I don't even know, though, because my neighbor might have a really good podcast. LA is full of very talented people.
Well, yeah, actually, that's a good point, is you have no idea who your neighbor might be.
I live in Los Feliz, too, so yeah. Hipster Central. No, I think it's, in a way, it's like a whetstone kind of a thing, you know, like being around talent makes you want to work harder at your shit, you know, yeah. Like it sort of sharpens you, but at the same time, I think it can also make you feel like you have to always be doing something or moving or like on the verge of making it. And I, unfortunately, you know, I think if you talk to most people who have been here long enough, they have friends or situations that they have either, you know, directly been involved with or have been adjacent to that people just can't handle being out here because of that. And it's not that Los Angeles is any particularly special town other than industry exists here, but
and a lot of it.
But in that way that I was talking about before, of you having to qualify yourself, kind of like, oh, I'm Virginia and I'm like a producer and a writer and I like host a podcast
and
it's awesome.
Here's why
it's
that's
like
not
on iTunes.
BS.
Yeah, and exactly. So you always have to sort of like, in a way, it's like if you're not in the middle of working on something, like, or if you're not hustling in between six different projects, like, what are you
and
doing?
Someone's like,
you know?
So what are you doing right now? Oh, I'm just wondering if I'm going to die.
Yeah, like I'm just mourning the election results and trying not to fall into a black pit of despair on a daily basis.
I see that, like I've seen it in myself and all of my friends. There's that thing where you're like, you're between jobs. You know you're going to have another job, but you're between jobs. You might even have one scheduled for like 3 weeks from now, but you're not working right now. And there's a part of you that's like, I'm never going to work again.
I can't believe I've gotten the jobs I've gotten. I'm clearly a fraud. Right. Like I fooled people this long.
But as for the qualification thing, there's something a friend of mine told me she worked in the business back in like the 80s and 90s. And as since, you know, as many people do, they move on to a quieter life after, you know, getting their fill of it.
Yeah.
Cause it is hectic. Even my, like, you know, comfortable, never really have to drive anywhere version, it's still like, I'm always doing something.
Yeah.
And I can see a point in the future. I don't know that I'll leave the city, but I might tone it down a bit because I don't know how long I can keep this up. But yeah. What she said was like, anything you've ever heard about LA, like, oh, it's political or, oh, you know, people are always going to be like looking down on you if you're not as successful as them and stuff, like those people exist, but also you don't have to ever interact with them if you don't want to, and you can still build a career. So it's kind of like, it seemed to me that there's a combination of like, what do you think for yourself? And like, how do you want to approach the move and sort of finding your way in the industry? And like, how good are you at telling people to get off your back and.
But also, and, it
but
comes
then sometimes
with, like,
you just have to take a job.
That's what I'm saying. You have to like if you are at the point where you you moved out here and you had like one job and it went for 2 months and then it's done and you were making PA money so you didn't save anything and you have rent to pay. Yeah. Like, get a fucking part-time job because guess what? If you don't, you're going to have to leave LA. And like, if your goal is to be out here, then work really hard to be out here. Like, make that goal something that is a functional reality because it is not an impossible city to conquer. You know, like I think that if you get in the rhythm of the current, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can definitely, it's like a rip current. You know what
right.
I mean? Like if you work
yourself,
with it.
Let yourself pivot.
Exactly. You can sort of, I think, actually really maybe float out into something amazing like this, you know, but if you fight against it or you aren't careful, it can really like mess you up, you know? And I don't know. I think I'm really grateful that I've had family here for a long time too, because I think that's kept me kind of grounded, like, because I have like a brothers and my nephew here and stuff. But I don't know, LA for me, when I think about it, I mostly just equate it with work because I don't really party a lot. I'm not really like, I don't know how I've really come across on this interview because I realize it's been a long time since I've been interviewed. Like, I normally am. We were talking about before we got on mic and we weren't sure how we were going to pull this off because we both are hosts of our own shows. And we're
who's
like,
driving?
But wait, who's hosting this?
Yeah.
I hope that people listening to this, you know, I hope that it doesn't come across as just like ramblings of two people who are here because
well, no,
I
that's
do
what
think
it
that
is. That's
I
what
mean,
podcasts
but,
are, Virginia. Come on.
But I hope it's like constructive rambling. You know what I mean? Because if you want to be here, like, be here. You know what I mean? It is 100,000,000% a possibility. You know, like, I was speaking to a class a few years ago. This was in, like, 2012 when I was in Grand Rapids. I was speaking to a college class. And one of the students raised his hand, and he was so sweet and earnest and just... God, I felt like never looked as young as this kid looked. Like in my whole life, I was like, surely he is a child.
He was an adult.
Yeah, he was like 19. But he, you know, he raised his hand and he was like, excuse me, I just had a question. What did it take for you to, you know, like go out to Los Angeles? And I responded immediately, balls. I realized immediately he wanted to know the number amount of money that it took me to get from point A to point B.
It costs $2,000 to move anywhere.
Yeah, it's going to cost you a little bit of money. Like, I put everything in my car and then I drove out here.
Yep.
I want to say the first time I drove out here, it probably cost me like $1,000 because it was probably like... a couple hundred, you know, maybe like 700.
I stayed in hotels on
yeah,
the way.
Like
I didn't sleep in the car.
But see, at one point I slept in my car. And so like, I think that if you want to get out here, you can come out with a car. LA is hard to be without a vehicle.
It can be done, but especially
if you want to work production.
Right. You're going to need a car. When we talked to Clay Chamberlain, he's a stand-in.
Yeah.
He actually was talking about getting rid of his car. He's like, it was a mental shift.
Because LA does have public transportation, absolutely.
Yeah, and it works.
You know, if you're talent, that I can totally
right.
see.
Right. It's
being
a little
a thing.
Bit easier because
you don't need to transport.
You don't need to transport anything except yourself.
Exactly.
Which is a thing.
Like, there are lots of, I don't know, there's just a lot of cool, great opportunities in Los Angeles. I think, you know, one of the things that sticks with me all the time, and one of the things that I think is probably just like a recurring theme on my show and, you know, your show too. And just as a shameless plug, it was kind of repeated back to me by my last guest, Mr. Tom Wilson from Back to the Future. He said, you know, there's nothing stopping you from creating today. Like, there's nothing stopping you from pulling out a piece of paper and a pen or your laptop or your guitar or whatever it is that you're doing and starting it today. Like, you don't need permission to do your thing. You don't have to be in LA to do your thing. If your thing is entertainment related and you live in Bueller, Kansas, that's okay. Make your shit and post it for the world, because we live in such an age where you can pull up the grossest penises you would ever want to see and the best short films you'd ever want to see within like 0.2 milliseconds.
Sometimes with the same search term.
Exactly. And so I think that, you know, the downside of that obviously can be that feeling of everyone's making something. I have to make something. If I don't make it, I'm a failure. And if I'm a failure, then who am I? And if I'm not a 19-year-old YouTube star, like, you know, whoever is a YouTube star, because I'm that PewDiePie or whatever, like, but he's more than 19. But, you know, if there's such that, like, need to compare all the time. But if you are just doing your shit for you and you're making good stuff, like, it's that's the thing. The doing right. of the thing is the thing. Like,
right. Yeah. Well, and not one of the people you're comparing yourself to had a precedent. They were just like, I'm going to make this a bunch.
Exactly. Like, and you know, to be a motivational poster, like, the only difference between a winner and a failure is a failure who tried again. Like, you don't make it because there's like some magic formula. You know, I am been fortunate enough to start doing live shows with my podcast, and I surprisingly was getting a similar question, which is just like, how did you start this? And I'm sure people ask you that too, because it's like, it seems like it's this very grandiose thing where all of a sudden there was this like lightning bolt strike that the heavens parted and like, babe, I was summoned to sort of do this. And it's like, I was sitting around my brother's living room one day and I realized that I had not fully formed a project for myself, and when I really boiled it down to what I liked to do and what I was good at, it was talking to people. And my brother had a walk-in closet that had some mics in it, and I had friends who like responded to my texts and said, yes, I'll come let you interview me for an hour. You know what I mean? It wasn't like somebody handed me a microphone and said, you're gonna make it, kid. We always knew you'd be in pictures. Like, that doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to do you and hope that the joy that you get from making your shit is enough. That's enough of an emotional currency to be what you need it to be. And you could still work at Subway and be a painter. It doesn't make you any less of a painter if making subs is what pays your bills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think that that is such an interesting mountain that our generation has had to climb, because I think we're cycling back into this weird age of pseudo patronage, because you have things like Kickstarter and
right,
Indiegogo and Patreon and all that stuff.
Not from an individual, but from a group.
Right. Whereas back in the day, you know, it was like King George was your patron or whatever. Right, like,
you're going to live in the back house and make me paintings.
Exactly.
And I really like cottages with flowers out front.
So I'm going to put you in a cottage with flowers out front. I hope that you can get inspired.
Paint different versions of it for me.
Exactly. And now we don't really have that. And so,
no, you can make it, and if you make something that's good, you'll find an audience for
it. Yeah. Like,
if you want to, you don't have to. Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting thing, because even if the job you want to do is, you know, I want to work a camera, I want to be a writer, I want to direct, I want to act, I want to decorate sets, I want to do makeup, like, everyone wants to make something.
Yeah.
And I don't know, whenever I hear like the sentiment that you're offering, the thing that comes to my mind as like the next step of that for me is like, also don't constrain yourself. Like, because you might want to do that thing, but probably it's the making stuff that it, you know, making a movie or making a song or whatever, like the participating in the creation of it is the itch underneath the itch.
Exactly. That's the why of it you know? And so if you can get to the why of it and there's no paycheck, you've still won because the why has been answered, you know? And like, if there's a paycheck on top of that, holy shit, you're one of the luckiest people literally on the planet. Like, and I think that the people that are most inspiring to me are, I don't know. I feel like I get so inspired by people who have just kind of like, and it's not like an anti-mainstream, like I can't like them because they're popular or anything like that. But like, I feel like I gravitate towards the people who do self-publish their things or have sort of had these longer careers where they might not have sold a million copies of an album, but they did it on their own label and they wanted to try something, you know, or, you know, photographers who have sort of stayed local, or, you know, some of the best DPs I know, like, work in commercials in Michigan. They don't do features. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that you can find inspiration from anybody who's just doing what they're doing. And if you're somebody who's listening to this because, you know Crew Call and you read Anonymous Production Assistant blog because you, like all of us, are hoping to get guidance in this industry, like, everything is doable. Everything is learnable. Everything is teachable. Like, you don't have to. There's no one way to the top of like that hill, you know what I mean? And there's no timeline, there's no specific. I think that like being kind to yourself and focusing on the work, being the why, is like, you could do that anywhere. You could find joy anywhere doing that. And that could really apply to anything that's not even art related, to be honest.
Which is, like, and I think the goal of saying stuff like that too isn't like, don't come.
Yeah, no, it's like, really, come.
Really, it's not hard, but it's hard.
Yeah.
But it's not hard, but it's fine. But like,
if you are okay with being the kind of person who gets used to it being hard.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
And you mentioned something earlier too, like there's a current.
Yeah.
Don't resist it.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll probably be fine.
But it's also, I think could be a broader, like, don't say no to opportunities, which is what you said. It's like, don't wall yourself off because it wasn't exactly what you thought it would be, you know, which is why when an opportunity in Grand Rapids, Michigan presented itself, I honestly could not have been more excited because it was a thing where for my personal human journey, I was feeling ready to sort of move again
try something new.
Yeah. And then when you start talking about bringing other things into the equation, it's like, well, if I'm going to raise a human and like grow a whole other person, like I'm not doing that shit in LA. I can't even take care of myself here. I can't even imagine trying to raise a potato like that, you know.
They're called babies.
Right, I should get that down before I get pregnant.
Yeah, just check it out.
Baby.
B-A-B-Y. Right. and you can't cut pieces off of them and bury them and grow more.
They are called spuds, though. It's weird.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay, so one of my favorite questions to ask as we near the end of interviews on Crew Call anyway is, do you have any last words?
Yeah, as this has been mostly an hour talking about ourselves. I think that one of the things this year specifically has taught me, 2016, is that you need to care more, which is a very broad statement, but you, I, me, the royal we, like, 2016 has taught me that I need to give way more shits. And just about myself, my art, the people around me, my community, not my community. You know what I mean? Like, I need to give more shits about people that aren't near me and don't look like me and don't have the same goals and dreams and aspirations. And I think, you know, one of the easiest things to do sometimes when we are in any season of life that feels like it is difficult is to not focus on making sure that we are healthy, right? It's always what external things can I fix? What external problems can I find solutions for? You know, what things outside of myself are there to be remedied, instead of saying it's okay to take a moment and or take a day or however long to make sure that I am a healthy and whole individual before, you know, it's that thing of put your oxygen mask on yourself first before you help
someone else. You are not the first person who has said that with respect to life or the industry.
I think it's very easy to get caught up in that.
Yeah.
Oh, good. That makes me happy. I'm glad.
Put it on yourself first. And the reason they say that is you can't help anyone if you're dead.
That is genuinely what it is. And that was just a lesson that I learned this year, because aside from the catastrophe that has been 2016 and like the political pop culture,
just a literal garbage fire of a year.
Like, you get to that point where you finally say, like, okay, I guess it's time to like give a shit about myself and clean house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause it's just a very easy thing to sort of push to the side. And I think that's been my biggest continuing conversation with friends lately, is just how do they maintain a balance? But then that's a great way for me to sort of ask you my sort of wrap up question, okay, which is normally, you know, has there been a time since you started sort of doing artistic things professionally, sound, uh-huh, whatever it is in the film realm, has there been a time where there was either like a failure so big or a lack of work so long that sort of made you be like, nah, I'm good, I'm gonna quit? And then like, what was it that pulled you back?
Not really. Mostly because like this path is my last ditch effort to like find fulfillment.
Right.
Not in like a hinging everything on the career kind of way, but for a very long time I did, and this is retrospect describing it, I didn't like the way my life felt around me.
Yeah.
If that made sense. And it wasn't any one thing I notice now, because I'm not doing what I thought I was going to be doing, but
it feels good.
I feel so much better.
Yeah.
And one thing though, that puts me in mind of, is there have been times where like, I've been like, maybe this isn't the way to do it, and I should just go work at In-N-Out. Anyway, my point is like, there are other, like, I could just get a job and like not have to have this stress in my life anymore.
Yeah.
But the two things that I've noticed is, if you don't stop looking out for work and you just, you know, take that extra week of ramen and biking instead of driving,
right,
like the job will turn up, and it sucks. Like, I've been poorer in a way that is scary more than even when I was in college, which is not impoverished, but like, there've been times where just for 10 days, I don't have a dollar.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I've got food in the fridge, I've got, you know, gas in the car, but like, if anything else happens, like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But, that's been worth it.
Yeah.
For me, because I like the nature of the work and the way relationships in this business work so much more than anything else I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, that'll sort itself out. And worst case, you go flip burgers for a few weeks to like reorient.
Right.
And like, that would be fine. But no, I haven't. I don't know. I don't know that there will ever be anything that makes me think of stopping.
Good. I think that's good.
Mostly because like, I've had all those thoughts already, like prior to starting. So I'm just like, right, oh no. Okay. Go do that until I die. But yeah, well, you were on my show.
You were on my show.
Holy crap.